O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, say that thou art. Thou my best art by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my life. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty gain. Thou mine inheritance, now and always, now and the only first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys of bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of
all. Thank you, Brother Eric, for that ministry of music. Be thou my vision. I read this scripture this morning in my preparation out of the 29th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Isn't that true? We're asking, and we know that Jesus is our vision. I want to welcome you to worship the King in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's such a blessing to be here and to worship together in that one spirit. And I'm glad to see that everyone got the memo that it was time to spring forward and we all awoke in time. I'm especially thankful that Brother Mike did as well. And we're so thankful and counted a joy to have Patriarch Mike Ballantyne here with us to break the bread of life. Three weeks from today, We will be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And as I was pondering on that, I recalled when I was a young teenager, our little branch up in Woodbine, we planned a sunrise service. And I remember having to wake up for that. And it was practically in the middle of the night, it felt like to me. Nevertheless, I got out of bed and I got ready, was still very sleepy. And we gathered on a hill that was in an apple orchard that had been in my family. And this hill overlooked the east, kind of the rolling gentle hills on the horizon. And we literally saw the sun rise. And that was the first time, I believe, that I drew all the connections between the sun rising in the east and the resurrection of the Son of God and the return of the Son of God. And so I'm thankful that I awoke in time to witness that. And I imagine that this scripture was read during that service, 27th verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew. For as the light of the morning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, and covereth the whole earth, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I would also like to read, beginning with the 27th verse of chapter 10 of the book of Moroni. And again, I would exhort you that you would come unto Christ and lay hold upon every good gift, and touch not the evil gift, nor the unclean thing. And awake, and arise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion. And strengthen thy stakes, and enlarge thy borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded. That the covenant of the eternal Father, which he hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Let us turn to hymn number 4. We will stand for this hymn.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, in thy Son's most precious name, Lord, we invite you this morning to attend with us, that your Spirit may minister to those here, and that the words which are spoken would come from you. And our dear brother's mind might be enlightened, and his tongue might be unlocked to speak of the truth of your Son and the gospel that works here in the latter days. So, Lord, we appreciate the opportunity to come to worship together as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
With me. Our most kind and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day and the rain that you've allowed to come upon us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to be here as saints, Lord. We ask the blessing upon the offering, Lord, that it may be used in a good manner, Lord, that it'll be honorable for you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and praise you in your name. Amen.
Read to you, please, from Genesis 7, and I'll read several verses, 67 through 72. And the Lord said unto Enoch, as I live, even so will I come in the last days, in the days of wickedness and vengeance, to fulfill the oath which I made unto you concerning the children of Noah. And the day shall come that the earth shall rest, but before that day the heavens shall be darkened, and a veil of darkness shall cover the earth, and the heavens shall shake, and also the earth. And great tribulation shall be among the children of men. But my people will I preserve. Righteousness will I send down out of heaven, and truth will I send forth out of the earth, to bear testimony of mine only begotten, his resurrection from the dead, yea, and also the resurrection of all men. And righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine own elect from the four quarters of the earth to a place which I shall prepare, a holy city, that my people may gird up their loins and be looking forth for the time of my coming. For there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, the New Jerusalem. And the Lord said unto Enoch, then shalt thou and all thy city meet them there, and we will receive them into our bosom, and they shall see us. And we will fall upon their necks, and they will fall upon our necks, and we will kiss each other. And there shall be mine abode, and it shall be Zion, which shall come forth out of all the creations which I have made. For the space of 1,000 years shall the earth rest. Amen.
Since the sorrow untold, as you look down the road at the clamoring crowd drawing near, feel the heat of the day as you look down the way. Hear the shouts of Hosanna the King. O daughter of Zion, your time's drawing near. Don't forsake him, oh, don't pass it by. On the foal of a donkey, as the prophets had said, passing by you, he rides on to die. Come now, little foal, though you're not very old, come and bear your first burden bravely. Walk so softly upon all the coasts and the palms. Bear the one on your back, oh, so gently. Midst the shouting so loud and the joy of the crowd, there is one who is riding in silence. For he knows the ones here will be fleeing in fear when a shepherd is taken away. Oh, daughter of Zion, your time's drawing near. Don't forsake him, oh, don't pass it by. On the foal of a donkey, as the prophets had said, passing by you, he rides on to die. Soon the thorn-cursed ground will bring forth a crown, and this Jesus will seem to be beaten. But he'll conquer alone both the shroud and the stone, and the prophecies will be completed. O daughter of Zion, your time's drawing near. Don't forsake him, oh, don't pass him by. On the fall of a donkey, as the prophets had said, passing by you, he rides on to die. On the fall of a donkey, as the prophets had said, passing by you, he rides on to die.
I want to thank you for the beautiful music. I want to thank you for inviting me to come and be with you. It's a joy to be a part of this morning worship experience. I'm so proud of you, each one. I attend mostly over at Oak Grove Restoration Branch, and like you, we are scattered as well as we can be. And we suffer because we wear masks and we can't see each other smile at one another. And others do it different ways, and so it is. I want to say to you that I love you very much. And I feel that same love from you as well. And I'm grateful for the prayers that have been offered on my behalf. I'm here to encourage and inspire you as best I can to put all these physical limitations out of your mind. The nation is suffering because of what we call now the pandemic. It's suffering more because of a change in leadership. And it is only the beginning of suffering. But I'm here to encourage you that all these physical things we live in and suffer through are nothing compared to the joy that is soon to be coming to us. And I've read to you from Genesis, and there are many other places that talk about Zion. And we all yearn for it, and we have in the church since it was begun in the 1830s. I can remember my own grandparents on both sides hoping that it would come in their day. And my parents, the same. And now I'm an old man, and I've been yearning for Zion all my life, as have many of you, I'm sure. Beloved, I am convinced that the Lord can wait very little longer. One of the things that breaks my heart, and I know I'm nothing compared to the Savior, is to see this nation that he has blessed so greatly killing their young ones before birth. And that's just one of the many things that is on his heart. Now, I am reminded that his coming is soon. I've just read a scripture that's probably one of my favorites. I have many, and they're all marked up in this book, and we talked about that this morning. Color codes, little tags in the scriptures of mine, and many comments in the margins. I need a new one because this one's falling apart, but I can't give up my own notes and so forth, and it would take years for me to get acquainted with a new book. But Enoch had this experience where he was blessed to participate in the kingdom of God with his people. And he was taken up in preparation for the return to the earth in the Lord's timing. A covenant was also made to Noah, who had all things common with Enoch and his group. In fact, Noah had only himself and his family of 8 total. And they lived with all things common. Meaning that there was no poor among them. They were blessed by the Lord. And we go down through the ages in the scriptures. I'm reminded of the time when Christ was crucified and put in the tomb. And he didn't stay there, of course. He came to the American continent and met the Nephites and the Lamanites, they were called, those that were alive after the great storm that destroyed the wicked. And those that remained welcome their Savior. And you've heard the story many times, I'm sure, of how the crowd gathered, a 2,500 number of men, women, and children. And the Savior came down from heaven and visited with them for 3 days or thereabouts. And they yearned after he spent the first day with them that he would remain and stay with them longer. Told him he had to go back to the Father when the evening came. And it says they looked upon him as though they yearned that he might stay a little longer. So he did. He recognized their yearning for more of his talking and speaking to them. And that's when angels came down and ministered to the children, the innocent and pure little ones. And the congregation retreated so that the children could go up around Jesus himself. And they blessed him. And many things happened during that 3-day period. He taught them that he fulfilled the Mosaic law. He taught them about baptism. both physical and spiritual. He taught them about the communion service and served them bread and wine. And he taught them many more things. Number one, to have all things common, to give to the poor, and tithing. I could go into a lot of detail, but I won't do that this morning. But you know the story. And I've asked myself, am I prepared when he brings the kingdom to the earth? I look around at the church in many areas, and I'm guilty as well of growing comfortable. Money seems to flow, and we've got plenty, and we've got things, and we've got beautiful homes. And we don't need to have everything in common. And we pay our tithing and go on about our day and our lives. I'm not ready to meet my Savior face to face. And yet I pray that Zion will come often. I pray that somehow he can overlook all the weaknesses and sins in my life, and that I'll be able to step up to the plate when he comes. And I fear that I'm not the only one that lives day in and day out that way. I ask myself, am I prepared to love all people, even those that are hard to like? Enoch and his people had all things common. So did Noah. 3 Nephi describes Jesus' visit to the righteous, and they had all things common. The apostles after Pentecost converted many souls, and they had all things common. Goes into some detail about what that means in the scriptures. Acts of the Apostles 4 and 32 talk about that. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one mind and soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And this great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to he had needs. would I sell my house so that I could distribute funds? It takes faith and trust in a Savior to carry us over these kind of physical hurdles. I want to talk to you briefly about tithing. Many years ago, well, I was raised in a home with parents that trusted in the Lord. And I knew about tithing from early on. In fact, I have a copy of my first tithing statement when I was 8 years old, shortly after baptism. And as I recall now, I had a bicycle that I had to pay tithing on. I remember the bicycle. It was an old used one, about wore out, and it took a lot of maintenance that I had learned how to keep it going. And so, over the years, as I grew up, and I married and started a family of my own. And I worked for an oil company in Houston, Texas for a number of years. And while we were there, I paid tithing. But it was, I'd never learned to budget all those early years. And tithing seemed to be the last thing on the list after the mortgage and the doctor bills for the kids and many other bills. And I didn't make a lot of money in those days. Neither did I know how to budget. And I came home from work one night, well, it was afternoon, and I parked the car in the driveway and came in the back door. And my wife was there in the kitchen hanging up the phone, and she was crying. And I feared something major, and I said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "I am so tired of receiving phone calls from these bill collectors." And I made a decision then to learn how to budget and pay off our bills and our back tithing and all that. And I went in, and with that determination, the next day I went to work. I had always kept my financial things in my office at work in my desk drawer. And I usually went in early. We were supposed to start around 8, and I would be there earlier. And that morning I went in at 7, pulled out all my bills and all that, and started working on a budget. And put it all together in that hour before I went to work. I made a list on a piece of paper, all my bills. And then over on the right side of the paper, I put my earnings. And I knew that I had tithing in arrears. And so I figured up what that was. And decided if I could pay it off in 2 years, my arrears of tithing, I would try it that way. And I figured that I owed $236.35 a month for 2 years. And I would have all my tithing paid off. And then it was 7 o'clock, and I put it all in my desk drawer. I had written that $236.35 at the top of the list of my payments. I knew that I needed to pay my tithing first. And I put it there, and I looked at that number, and I added it all up, and I knew there was no way that I could make that. But I put it in the desk, in my desk, and went to work anyway. Now, I worked in an office building downtown Houston. We were on the 6th and 7th floors of one of the big high-rise towers. And there were probably 50 of us working in that office, which was looking for oil and drilling for oil in the Gulf of Mexico. And I went to work at 7, I mean at 8. We had a cafeteria in our building there, in the, down at the other end of the hall. And at lunchtime, people would leave their offices and go down to the cafeteria for lunch. And that day, I was came out of my office and walked down towards the cafeteria. And my boss, who was several offices down the hall from me, came out at the same time as I was going by. And we walked down to lunch together. And after we ate, we came back up the hall to our offices. And he said, have you got a minute? And I said, sure, come on in. And he came into my office and sat down in one of the office side chairs. And he said, I just wanted you to know that we put in for a merit raise for you, which was a 10% raise. And it's been approved. And I don't know what I was making in those days, probably $10,000 a year at the most. He said, we put in a merit raise also. The first one was the cost of living, 10%. A merit raise, he said, for the work you're doing, and he said they've approved it. That'll amount to a 28% raise. And he said, he pulled a little note out of his shirt pocket and looked at it, and he said, that'll amount to a $236.35 that you'll probably see on your next paycheck. And then he said, well, I better get back to work, and he tossed that note on my desk. I thanked him, of course, but I was in shock. Because that's exactly the amount I had written for tithing. It took me quite a while, probably several weeks, to realize that this wasn't about tithing as much as it was a testimony to me that I knew a Savior who read my mind and thoughts since I was created in the beginning. And he knew that on that day and that hour, I would try to start paying tithing a little better. And he arranged that I might recognize that he is the one that saw this happen and arranged it. My wife crying because of a bill collector that was harsh. Me deciding that I needed to budget. Me choosing to add up and pay on my tithing first instead of after all the other bills. My willingness to make an effort to budget so that I could pay the tithing. Many details he knew and planned for. It probably took me that 2 years to pay off the tithing, and by then I had learned to budget and we were about out of debt, and I've paid my tithing all these years first. I'm anxious to give to those in need like never before. I yearn for the time when we will meet a stranger and love him or her with everything we have. We anticipate, beloved, that when the Lord moves, there will be many people flooding this area. We know that there will be a time when things are not the same in this nation. Things are going to deteriorate quickly. Money will be scarce for a while and then become worthless. We've seen a touch of commerce diminishing from the virus last year. It'll get worse than that. But during that time is when the Savior is eager to bless, uphold, inspire, encourage, and strengthen those that know and love Him and are willing to give their all for His purposes, and for those that are coming in looking for hope of a better way. Many don't know their Savior when they come to this area seeking some way to make it. And we will be eager to embrace them and bring them into our homes, and open the doors and feed them and clothe them if needed, and give them all that they need to make it and to learn of a Savior that loves them. Remember, dear ones, You are the lovely saints who have the fullness of the Lord's gospel. So few on the earth really know Him and love Him like we are challenged to do. The story of the 10 virgins speaks of 5 foolish and 5 wise. It doesn't say much about us because we're to be the watchmen and awake and signal the Lord's return and share it with others. We all yearn for Zion. Our Savior also yearns for Zion as we do. And it will come. And it will be soon. Set your homes in order now. We are challenged to prepare ourselves to meet the Savior and to be about His business only. And that's when we will see Zion come. We've got to do the things we know we must before Zion can come to us. We've got to change from routine daily activities, putting our money and wealth first in many ways. And then, if we have extra, give it to those in need. We've got to change from that thinking to giving away all that we have, if need be, for anyone else that's in need. Whether we like them or not, whether they know the Lord or not, they are souls that need their Savior as we do. Dedicate and rededicate your families and your homes to the service that the Lord has for your homes, because they are His homes. If you will give them to Him, and He will take care of them. We know that storms will come to this area first, and the whole area will be cleansed of those that have no purpose in this area. Those that are here for other reasons than Zion. And it will be a cleansing storm, driving off those that can't abide the Lord's Zion. And those that remain will be here and stay here to be a part of Zion. Pray for your families and for this nation and its leaders. Pray for this small and true and living church on the earth today. Pray for one another. Study the Scriptures. Pray for the priesthood. They are challenged to qualify for His endowing Spirit. Are we ready for that? I know we yearn for it. Beloved, the Lord has an answer for every question, every concern, every desire of the heart, which is good. And like He did with me regarding Zion and the tithing things, He's planned for each one of us from the beginning of time to bless us, teach us, and use us for His good purposes. This is the high calling He has for this flock, for this day and age, that we love one another like never before, that we give our all for each other and become one in mind and spirit, that we pray diligently for one another, that we may not drift away or be misled by the cares of the flesh, but that we be quick to give and give it again and again. I pray that the Lord might bless us, that we may come together not only as a congregation, but as a group of saints from many congregations together, that we may be one as a body. We are challenged to assist the Savior in building up His kingdom here on earth called Zion. The same challenge that Enoch had. The same challenge that Noah had. The same challenge as the Nephites had. And now, in these latter days, the challenge that we have. Can we do less? May the Lord bless and keep you. Is my prayer in Jesus' name.
our Father and our God, with joy and thanksgiving, we have sat and listened to thy word that has been spoken this day. And Lord, we are so grateful for the opportunity to sit under the ministry of a patriarch. And we know, Lord, that there is much for him to do, and that we have been blessed with his ministry this day. And Lord, as he has spoken those words, I pray that they might sink deep within our hearts, that we might be about putting our homes in order, that we might be about putting our lives in order, that we might prepare and be found watching and waiting for you. Not that we would be asleep or lazy. And Lord, I pray that you will bless this people as they go forth from this place. I would ask the Father's blessing upon them, that you might walk with them, that your angels might have charge over them, that they would be protected, that they would be guided and directed, that they would have wisdom and discernment, that they would have charity and patience and long-suffering, that they would have the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, that each one of us may be that vessel that would draw men unto you. Lord, we are so grateful for this gospel, for your Son who came and who gave his life as a sacrifice that we might have eternal life. May all the honor and the glory and the praise be thine forever and ever, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. We love you and we thank you for loving us. And I would ask this blessing now, Lord, and ask a blessing upon this meeting in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.